Hi, friend. Welcome to Love, Hope, and Stories. My name is Jennifer. I'm so glad you're here with us today. If you clicked on the podcast link, you probably saw the title that said Public Record Part 2. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I didn't see a Part 1 anywhere. What is this Part 2? Well, I'm just going to tell you up front, this is kind of a follow-up to last week's episode. The first of the year, I sit down and I go through my goals and I pray through the year. I always ask the Lord for a word of the year. I know those things are kind of trendy to do. Lots of people are doing them, but I really internalize that and say, you know, give me some vision for this year. What do you want me to learn this year? What is important to you, God, for me to walk through this year? If you know me and you know some of my background, and that's kind of the professor coming out in me, that I like a plan. I actually make a syllabus. I know some of you are laughing, but I make a syllabus for myself for my daily devotional, what I'm going to read, because if I don't have a plan, I know it won't get done. And it'll just be easy for me to come to the Bible and be like, I don't know what to read today, and get distracted. So if I have a plan, then I can sit down and I know what's going to happen. And I can be intentional and focused with my time. And it just has worked so much better for me to do it that way the last couple of years versus being unfocused and not really knowing where we're going in the past. So the first of this year, the Lord spoke to me the word strong. And there's a whole story surrounding that word. But he also said to me, the story that I'm writing with you, I want it to be a public record for anybody that it could encourage. What are you doing with your life? Make it a public record of the goodness of God. I honestly thought I would be writing a book and hopefully getting a book published, self-publishing or getting a publisher or something. That was kind of where my mind was tracking, because I have this story and I want to tell it and I feel compelled to tell the story. I had no idea that it would be through this avenue, but hey, who doesn't love a good surprise, right? So there's no rules. I don't feel like there's any rules for this podcast. I feel like I'm just going to ask the Lord every week, what do you want me to share? Whose story do you want me to share? Help me to be a good steward of stories of my own and of my friends, if they'll allow me to share with the world how they've experienced the love of God and how they've experienced hope in their life. I've told you before, I love podcasts. And a friend of mine knows that. And so she will send me podcasts from her church. I kind of do the same back to her. So she sent me one from Covenant Church in the Dallas area. They had a guest speaker, Bob Sorge. And it's in their summer reading series, if you want to look it up after you listen to this. And it's called Between the Lines. It was just a great sermon all about how God is the author of our story. And hello, I love that kind of stuff, right? He started off talking about Hebrews 12. And this great cloud of witnesses. And I know if you've been in the church world any amount of time, you've heard that idea of we have this great cloud of witnesses in the skies. And I think most times we think they're watching everything we do and they're kind of placing a judgment over us, or they're cheerleading us on being a witness to what we're doing on the earth. But what Pastor Sorge said was kind of a mind shift for me a little bit. He said that he didn't believe that they're witnessing to our lives, but they're actually witnessing to us of the grace of God. And so basically, I kind of got this mental image of all of these saints in the heavens, who in Hebrews 11, it lists some of those out. But, you know, they're up there and they're saying to us, I know what it's like. I laid aside every weight of sin that wanted to cling closely to me. I ran with endurance the race that was set before me, and I looked to Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith story. I'm now watching him sit at the right hand of the throne, and I can bear witness to you of the fact that it's all worth it, that all the pain is worth it. Just keep looking to Jesus. He'll help you not grow weary. He'll help you from having a faint heart. He'll keep training you. He'll keep disciplining you because he loves you. He'll keep reminding you that you're his son or his daughter. Just keep going. Keep pursuing. Keep going. I'm a witness that it's all worth it in the end. You know, I'm so grateful that we have these witnesses in heaven. I praise God for that. That's amazing. But man, I also need witnesses here on earth today. You know, like I need a text from a friend that says, hey, I'm running this race too. Let's stay encouraged. Hey, I'm praying for you. Will you pray for me? Hey, let's keep calling each other on our junk. Let's keep pushing each other towards Jesus. Like we have these people that have already finished the race, but I need a witness that's next to me who's running right along with me. You know, like I need that kind of witness in my life. And I want to be that kind of witness in the world. I see the value in it in my own life. And so I want to do that for other people. And I hope that you're feeling encouraged by this show in that way. I hope that, you know, once a week you get a few minutes of someone saying, just keep going, just keep going. I mean, yes, the road is hard and it's long, but you know what? It's going to be worth it. Let's just keep running together, you know? One of the things that God has been talking to me about the last couple of weeks, if I could just share some encouragement with you, is this idea of a mirror. Let me set it up for you. When we moved into our house, we were, you know, came to look at the property and we were walking with our realtor. In the entryway, there's this big blank wall that the previous homeowners had purchased, just a gigantic mirror. It's like floor to ceiling, wood framed. It's just gorgeous mirror. It's like massive. And so our realtor, as we're walking through, she said, if you see anything, if you see a lamp or if you see a chair or any kind of piece of furniture, piece of art that you like, we can put that into the contract and we can ask the homeowner to also sell that as they sell the home. And so really the only thing in the house, I mean, they had gorgeous furniture and gorgeous artwork, but the only thing that I just could not imagine the house without would be that mirror. And so they actually sold it to us. And it's cool because I can sit on my couch, the way our house kind of flows, I can sit on my couch and looking through that mirror, I can see the angle of the kitchen and I can tell if my 4-year-old son is climbed up on the sink, drinking out of the faucet, which is his favorite way to get, you know, some water. Or if I can see the stove and I can make sure that the babies aren't getting too close to the stove or they're not pressing buttons they shouldn't be pressing. Or I love this mirror. But the Lord's been talking to me about, he's been saying, Jen, I don't want you to look at life through a mirror. You know, if you were to go over and stand in front of a mirror today, you are in the center of your line of vision. And you may see other people around you. You may see other people in the room. You may see the furniture that's around you. You can see things, but you can only see what's in the frame of the mirror. And you are always in the center. You're always going to have to look around yourself to see what else is in the picture. The Lord's saying, you're looking at life and you can see me. I'm in the room. You see that I'm there with you. You see my glory. You see people. You see the people that are closest to you. You can see some people who are farther, but you can't see everybody because you're not looking at the room. You're looking at a mirror. And you can see my mission, but you can't see all of it because you're looking at a mirror. You're not looking at the room. You can't see what's around the corner from what the mirror is showing you. It's kind of like the selfie view. You know, like I love Instagram stories, but you can tell when that girl is sitting in the driver's seat. Like obviously you see the steering wheel, but she's on the passenger side, you realize, wait a minute, that's not how it's actually happening. If I was in the car with her, I would have a different viewpoint than what it is that I'm seeing. It kind of plays a trick on your mind, you know, when we have this selfie view and you realize, really, that thing is on the other side of her or him. And the Lord's been saying to me, that's what it will be like for you if you keep looking at life through a mirror. So I want to turn you around and let you see the room. There's more. There's more to the picture than just what you see in the mirror. There's a clearer view than what you see in the mirror. And it's not about you. Like, if you turn around and look at the room, you won't see so much of yourself. You'll be able to see what I'm actually wanting to show you. And so sometimes God gives us installments of the revelation of the love that he has for us. And a few of those little stories of him gently taking me by the shoulders and turning me around to face the room instead of facing the mirror that are a continuation of the story. I told you about our journey through infertility and taking God at his word and, you know, within a year seeing the Lord bring these babies into the earth. And how that was just a pivotal moment, but I had to submit the bitterness that was in my heart. I had to turn that over to him and let him plant the truth of his word in my life. And how that whole process, I talked about that process on the previous episode, but something that happened after that, after the babies came, the next year was really difficult. I mean, motherhood hit me like a tsunami, and it really, like, I felt like I was floating in an ocean of dangerous things. And I don't know what's happening, and this is really not what I pictured motherhood to be like. I don't know what I pictured it to be like. I've pictured it to be like a magazine, I'm sure. I didn't know we were going to be adopting a child. I wanted to, but I didn't know that that was going to happen. I didn't know what an open adoption would really look like and live that out. And I also didn't know, I never would have expected to have a child born with special needs and the severity of the needs that our daughter had when she was first born and what she still has. But particularly at the beginning, I just didn't know what 2015 would hold. And at the end of that year, I went to a women's conference at our church called Shine. Prior to this conference, we had just started attending Shoreline City, and Pastor Onika had been telling the women of the church at the conference, God's going to give you a brand new name. He's going to give you a brand new name. He's going to give you a brand new name. Like over and over and over. And we prayed about the names and the labels that we carry around with us. And she wanted us to be prepared that God was going to give us a brand new name. And so I'm listening and I'm ready. And this is amazing. But God, you just gave me a brand new name. Because now with Isabella, every doctor's appointment we go to, every hospital visit, every therapy appointment, like nobody knows my name is Jennifer anymore at all. To everybody else, I'm called Mom, which in one part is like, hello, call me by my name. My name is Jennifer. And they're like, okay, Mom, which is a little annoying. But at the same time, that's what I had been praying for. So every time I hear it, even though I get a little annoyed by it, I also hear the miracle that somebody is calling me Mom. Because there was a day I would walk through a store and hear a child call their mom and just bust out crying right there in the store by myself. And so it was kind of this back and forth of, it's annoying that you're calling me Mom, but it's also a blessing that you're calling me Mom. So God, you already gave me a new name. I remember driving to the conference that night thinking, okay, Pastor Onika told us we're all going to get a new name, but I already feel like I have a new name. I don't want to go to this conference and not receive something from you, so let me have an open heart. And just kind of this back and forth, I don't know, war in my head with words, you know. And so I go to the conference. It's a super fun party, and it's just beautiful setting, beautiful venue. The table has been set, and then there came a point in the service where Pastor Onika had given her message, and they played a video. What I remember, it was a blank screen with a notepad and somebody writing words, labels that women will place on themselves of beautiful, unworthy. Every page was a new name that was being scribbled on this notepad. The very last of the notepad, it started to like flip backwards, and then the screen went black, and the word in huge, bold, white letters was daughter. For me, sitting in that seat by myself, like I still can feel the weight of that word of acceptance that said, it doesn't matter what people call you. Let me remind you of who you really are. Above everything else, you are my daughter. Walk in that. And so, man, that was good. That was a deposit of love to me. God, you have given me a new name, mother, but I am not coming to you as someone's mother. Every time I come to you, I'm going to come to you as a daughter. That was so powerful for me. And if you have never been called son or daughter, like I want you to hear that today, that the Lord wants to tell you you're a daughter. He wants to tell you you're a son. This is what I have called you. This is what my son came to do, is to bring you into the family, bring you into my family and have a seat at the table. That's such a powerful thing, right? And you have to walk it out. You have to learn how to do it. A few months later, another one of his big deposits of love were a sermon that Onika's husband, Pastor Earl, he was preaching on Luke 15, the prodigal son. It seems like the whole story is about the son who left his father's house, spent all of his inheritance on crazy things, and then had nothing and decided, you know what, the servants in my father's house live better, so maybe I should go back and try to be a servant. But the father sees him and he runs to him and he gives him a ring and he gives him a robe and he gets the fatted calf and they have a party and the son has come home. And it seems like that's what that story is about. But a large part of that story goes to the older son who was out in the field working, and he comes close to the house and realizes this party's happening. So he asks some of the other servants, like, what's happening? What is all this about? And they're like, dude, your brother's back. We're having a party. Woohoo. He gets mad and won't go into the party. He just stays outside. So the father comes to him also. We talk a lot about the father running to the son. He sees him from afar off and he runs to go get the younger one, the crazy one, right? But the one who's been doing everything right and is living in his house and is working in his fields and is right there with him all the time, he just has to step outside. He's that close to him. And the son just gives him the download. He is like, I'm here. I've been working for you. I'm doing everything right. I've not done anything wrong. And you don't even give me a goat to celebrate with my friends. And the father's like, But you live here. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. All the goats, all the cows, all the everything. Like, everything I have is yours because you're here and you have me all the time. And it kind of leaves, Jesus leaves the story hanging in the air, talking about the older son who has been living his whole life. He has everything at his fingertips. He has communion with the Father anytime he wants it, and yet he has been living as if he is a servant. And a line that Pastor Earl gave in that message that day, like, I remember him preaching this. He said, if that's how you're feeling, then you don't understand the gospel. And that was another load of bricks on me that said, that's exactly how I feel. Like, I identify as an older sibling. I'm the oldest of three, who did everything right, who went to all the right schools, who, you know, has served my whole life. I wanted to go into ministry. I couldn't imagine any other life for me except working in the church. When I was a little girl, and I, you know, like, some girls play dress up, some girls play teacher or whatever, like, I was the little girl that would stand up on the brick ledge around our fireplace and shine the spotlights and preach to the empty living room. Like, that's what I did for fun. My whole life I have wanted to serve him, okay? And you've even probably heard some of that language in podcast. You know, when I talked to Dusty, we talked about we were going to go do this for Jesus and we were going to win the world. And that was really the mindset of, I'm going to do this for you. What I was doing is I was walking in a servant's mindset that when the table is set, I stand at the back of the room because I'm a servant. And what God is saying is, no, I'm your father. You're my daughter. You come sit right beside me. You have a place at the table. It was a whole mind shift that day at church. You know, I'm a Bible school graduate. I have a master's degree in Christian education. I had been mentoring and discipling young adults and college students for 15 years at that point, while I'm sitting in that pew that Sunday thinking, I don't understand the gospel. I have a skewed view of what it is that Christ actually did for me. The revelation of that, you know, a month earlier was, wow, I'm a daughter. And now I'm just like, I don't understand what that means. So for the next several months, I read Hosea and I read Francine Rivers' Redeeming Love, which I can just hear throughout podcast land, people listening to this and being like, oh my gosh, I love that book. Reading those simultaneously and asking the question, God, show me what your gospel is. Let me understand, open my mind, let me understand what the gospel is. I started to see a steady shift in my understanding and my internalization of the gospel message. And I started walking as a daughter and not as a servant mindset. I still, to this day, when I go into my prayer time or I go into my quiet time with the Lord reading the scriptures, I have to remind myself, Lord, I don't want to look in the mirror anymore. I don't want to look at myself as you owe this to me because of what I've done, or I'm trying to pay you back and I'm trying to earn what you did for me. You know, seeing myself in the center, turn me around and let me look at the room where I can't see my face anymore. All I can see is your face, your mission, your people, your love, your glory, your hope, and let me live there. You know, I've always been in the room, yes, but my perspective has been skewed, and I don't want that anymore in my life. So reading, worshiping, prayer, I get to pray for the kingdom. I get to read my Bible. It's not something that I have to do to check it off of a list. It's something that I want to do because now I'm sitting at the table with my Father and we're having breakfast in the morning. That's how I feel. I just read through Ecclesiastes this last week. Solomon was the wisest man on earth. And Solomon says, I've evaluated it in wisdom. And here's the conclusion. Fear God, obey his commands, for we will be judged for everything we do, secret or public. When I read through that, I felt the Holy Spirit say, daughter, just fear me. Just keep looking at me. Just keep obeying what I've given you to do. Just keep walking with me. Keep abiding with me. Because I want you looking not through a mirror at life. I don't want you to be the center because you're never going to get to see the full picture if you do. I want to turn you around. I want you to look at the room and I want you to see the fullness of what it is that I'm doing in you, I'm doing in the earth, and the fullness of who I am. That has been really freeing to me. And I have been praying that as I share that encouragement, I'm running alongside you. Whatever you're doing right now, if you're in your car, if you're washing dishes, like I want you to hear the Holy Spirit, as he said to me, also say to you, you're a daughter, you're a son. Look me full in the face, and let's keep going together. Thank you so much for listening. I hope it's encouraged you. If it has, please share it with a friend. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Do all the things. I want to know your story. So please email me at lovehopeandstories@gmail.com. You can find me on all the social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, at Love, Hope, and Stories. Let's link arms as we're running this marathon of life, and let's keep cheering each other on, just like the great cloud of witnesses, to share love and hope with the world.